Okay, we're going to learn Daf Ayin Dalid in Masechtas Ksubas. We're going to start from six lines from the top, from the words Itmar Nami. So previously, on Daf Ayin Gimel Amud Beis, we had an interesting shita in the Mishnah, when you have a woman who makes nedarim, and therefore the husband is entitled to say, this is not the type of marriage I want, and he has the right to end the marriage. So we assumed, and it was a machlokes. Is a machlokes actually whether or not? Yeah, we're talking about the machlokes between Rav and Shmuel, whether or not you could, whether he has to actually say it explicitly, or he has, or even if he just says stam. Now, what are we talking about? Stam. We're talking about that he said it at the time they got engaged. But he didn't say anything at the time they got married. So, right. So it's a machlokes Rav and Shmuel. Rav says you still need to get because, well, actually, Rav says you need to get, right? Rav says that you need to get, which means that even because he didn't say anything during the marriage, we'll say, even though this is not pshat, but the pashtus is that it's because he no longer needs the Tanai. He no longer is requiring that Tanai. And Shmuel says, you don't need to get because, what do you mean? I already said that if she doesn't have any Nadarim, and it turns out she does have Nadarim, so I don't even need to get anymore. It's not a good marriage. So that's the Machlekes Rav and Shmuel. Now, on that point, Rava comes along and says a Chiddush Pshat and says that what case are we talking about over here? This machloikis between Rav and Shmuel is only in a scenario where he made this condition for one girl, and then he ended up somehow, and then later he ended up marrying a second girl, a different girl. And then the question is whether the tanai that he made, whether the tanai that he made with the first girl applies to the second girl. So the Gemara actually says that it doesn't literally mean a second girl. It could even mean the same girl in a second marriage. That they had been engaged, that engagement ended, then they re-engaged and eventually got married. Now, and then that second marriage, again, he didn't say outright, he didn't express the fact that the entire thing was conditioned, and that's an important word, was conditioned on the fact that she doesn't have nedarim. So according to Rabba, the point over here is that the Gemara is focusing on, and that we're going to continue on. I know there's a lot of kind of background building up to what we're getting to. But according to Rabba, it comes out that if it is the same girl, and you made the condition when you got engaged, and never said anything when they got married, there is no question, it's not even a machlokes Rav and Shmuel, there is no question that the condition that she has to be without nedarim must exist. There is no question that it applies, even though he didn't later reiterate his point that she has to be without nedarim. That is for sure. The only question and the only room for the machlokes, the way Rabba explains the Mishnah, the only room for this is in a scenario where you're either dealing with a second marriage or a second girl or something like that, where it's a question whether we can extrapolate from the fact that he was busy with this the first time he got engaged. Does he really mean to apply that in all cases? Meaning, does he now become the type of guy who cannot handle a girl with any nedarim? And therefore, this condition would apply to any marriage he enters into. But if we're talking about the same girl that he made, that he actually said it to her beferish, even if he doesn't say it to her later under the chuppah, that's for sure, without a question, that of course he wants that condition to apply. And there's no question that if it turns out that she has nedarim when she shouldn't have nedarim, there's no marriage. There's no machlekes Rav and Shmuel in that case. Even Rav would admit that you don't need a get because the condition is very clear. With all that background, now we can continue. Now we understand what the Gemara on the six lines down on Ayin Dalet is referring to. It says Itmar Nami. We learned also this concept that we just learned, that like Rabba, that if we're talking about the same girl and I made certain conditions, whatever the conditions would be, that for sure those conditions apply to that girl going forward. So Itmar Nami, we learned a similar idea. Omer Rav Acha bar Yaakov, Omer Rav Yochanan, Hamikadosh al Tanai Uboal. Okay, so the same, he made the condition. Let's assume the condition is Nedarim. It could be anything else, but let's assume just for simplicity's sake that we're talking about that he made a condition, he got engaged with saying that she doesn't have nadarm, and then they actually had beer, which was consummating the marriage. Divrei hakol, in the brackets, divrei hakol, eino tzricha hemenu get. You don't need to get. Why? Because that's what we just said. According to Rava's pshat, that makes perfect sense. Because if it's the same girl and I made the conditions originally, I don't have to reiterate and repeat my conditions later in the same marriage. And therefore, everybody would agree, meaning in this case, even Rav, would agree that I don't need to get because I made my conditions and you never fulfilled my conditions. Now the chiddush over here is, and the point that the Gemara is going to focus on, is that we take it to the next level even though there was beer. So till now we could have understood that we were talking about kedushin and we were talking about chuppah, but that the husband and wife actually live together. You could maybe, not that I don't know if I would have thought this, but maybe you could say there's a difference. Here the Gemara is saying clearly that they even live together. Now that adds an extra element because once they live together and there was bia, so now you have an issue where some husbands do not want, or the average husband does not want, that his bia should be considered as nus. So that adds an extra component. So, but meanwhile, the Gemara says there's no question, even with a bia, my conditions are my conditions, and if she has nadarim, there's no marriage. So, Eisvei, Ravacha Bereidu Rav Iko, Bar Achtei. So Ravacha, the son of Rav Iko, Bar Achtei, okay, I guess that's his name, Chalitza Mutas. So if you recall, we had this Gemara earlier in Yevamos, where you have a mistaken Chalitza. Kshera, so even though, we'll see exactly what the mistake was, but even though you did the Chalitza under false pretenses, the Chalitza still goes through. And the Gemara itself explains, Ezi Chalitza Mutas, what is considered a tricked into type of chalitza. So Amar Reish Lakish, the Reish Lakish wants to propose Kol she'omer loy chalitzlo ubekacha to koinsa, where you tell him, oh, you do this act, what we call chalitza, but this act of chalitza is the way to do yibum. So the husband, or the brother rather, I should say, the brother thinks he's doing yibum, but he's actually doing the act of chalitza, taking off the shoe and all that stuff. Okay? So that is what Reish Lakish says, that's a mistaken chalitza, because he's doing the act, he's going through the act, but he doesn't realize at all what he's doing, he thinks he's doing something totally different. So therefore, according to Reish Lakish, that would be considered a kasher chalitza. However, Amar Rabbi Yochanan, who argues on Reish Lakish, says, Ani shayno, but I already learned, benchin eskaven who? Whether even if he has in mind to do chalitza, but she doesn't, or ben shenis kavnehi, or she has in mind to do chalitza, v'loin eskavnehu, but he doesn't realize he's not intending to do chalitza. Chalitza is a psula that's not considered a kasher chalitza ad sheyiskavnu shneim, until both of them have kavana. So it's very clear that you need both of them to have kavana, and you can't be tricked into doing a chalitza, thinking it's not realizing it's a chalitza. But Amar chalitza is a kshera, and you're saying that this case is with the husband where he thinks he's doing something else, he doesn't realize he's doing chalitza, and you're considering that to be a real chalitza? How could that be? That cannot be pshat. Ella, we have to get to the pshat to get to the point over here, to the question that we're asking. Ella Amar Rabbi Yochanan, so Rabbi Yochanan says the real pshat is like this. Kol she'omer lo chalitza, do the chalitza. I know that you're doing a chalitza. Almanash etitein loch masayim zuz. Lucha masayim zuz. And if you do the chalitza, I'll pay you off. I'll give you the 200 zuz, which is a large sum of money. Okay? So he's gonna do the chalitza. So he thinks he's doing the chalitza on this condition, so to speak, on the condition that he gets lots of money. And then it turns out that you don't pay him the money. The chalitza is still kosher. So even though you tricked him into doing chalitza, at the end of the day, he did chalitza. At the end of the day, he did and understood and knew, willingly did this act of chalitza. So we don't care what the tanai was. We still say, once you went through with it, you went through with it. Alma, so what do we see? Kivin da avin maisa, achuli achlele tanai. We see that once you did the act, whatever the act is, whatever the prior conditions were, in this case, by chalitza, the conditions were 200 zuz, but in our case, the conditions was that if he went through the act over here, the act was that they lived together. So the conditions were originally, and when he did the act of bia, he didn't speak out his conditions. He was relying on earlier conditions, and the earlier conditions were that she doesn't have nadarm, and it turns out she does have nadarm. He was meichel it. Just like by the chalitza, I'm meichel the money, and whatever I did, I did. So the same thing with the bia also. Whatever I did, I did. I'm married now, and whatever the conditions were originally don't apply. As the Gemara itself finishes off and says, Hachanamik, even the Baal, Achuli Achle the Tanai. Once he does a Bia, the conditions don't apply. Now that Kasha is a Kasha, even according to Rabba, but even according to the Mandi Yomar, right, according to Rav Acha Bar Yaakov, that this is a Kasha on him, because he says, if you're Baal, then you don't need a get. What does you don't need a get mean? Meaning your conditions still apply. Let's break it down to easy components. That means the conditions still apply. And here, we're extrapolating, of course it's not the same case, but we're extrapolating from the case of Chalitza that no, once you go through the act, the conditions are irrelevant. I mean, unless you said, I'm doing this all tonight, but you know, you speak it out. But over here, we didn't speak it out by the Bashas Biyah. The conditions are no longer applicable. Which contradicts what we said, that you don't need to get, and the conditions are applicable. So we have a contradiction. So Omar Le Bar Beirav Shaper Kamris. You think this is a good kasha? You're asking me a kasha from Chalitza, which is a totally different case, a totally different logic. There's no comparison. Michti, let's break it down. Let's look at what we're talking about. Kol Tanai Mehecha Gamrinon. Where do we know the concept that you can make things conditional in the first place? Where does this concept even exist? It should be, whatever I do, I do. What difference does it make? My words are irrelevant. You know, as we say in English, acts speak louder than words. Right? So if I did it, I did the bio, so what difference does it make what I said? So shouldn't be real. So where do we see that I could make my acts conditional? From when Bnei God of Bnei Ruvain, so they wanted to stay in Eivor HaYarden, and they, Moshe Rabbeinu said, no problem. If you go and fight in Eretz Yisrael, then you can stay in Eivor HaYarden. If not, if you don't go fight in Eretz Yisrael, then I can't distribute this land to you. Okay, so that's where we see this condition. There was a condition about whether or not they would get an achuzo. Anyway, so the Gemara says, let's break it down to how it applies over here. Tonight, the Efshalikiyuma al yedei shliach ki hosom. When you're talking about the Tanai, that it could be fulfilled by somebody else, because Moshe Rabbeinu is saying the Tanai was, if you do this act, the act would be going into Eretz Yisrael, then I can distribute the land, which of course we know is interesting. Of course, it could be done al yedei shliach, because Moshe Rabbeinu wasn't even there; it ended up being distributed by Yeshua. So, have a Tanai. That's a Tanai. So, if I could do the fulfillment of the Tanai through somebody else, it's considered a condition. Tanai deloyef shalikiyum ayadei shliach yasom. But when it's not something that's doable by somebody else, it can be fulfilled by somebody else, that's not considered the kind of Tanai that fits and matches the Tanai b'nei God of b'nei Reuben. That's not a condition that we consider a legitimate condition. So lo yave Tanai, and therefore it's not considered a condition in the first place. Now, how does that apply over here? Over here, v'habia deloy efshar l'kiyume al yedei shliach t'yosem. Over here, this is a type of condition that cannot be done through somebody else. The commission of the bia that is not something, or the delivery of the bia is not something that somebody else could do. It has to be this guy himself. And therefore, v'kahave tonight. And still it's going to be a tonight, which doesn't make any sense. It doesn't fit into our rules of how B'nai God, the Tanai B'nai God of B'nai Ruvain would work. Right? So therefore it should not be a real condition in the first place at all. So why does it work? So why does it work by the condition over here? So he says, Hasam Mishum de Ishkas Havayas Lahadodi. Over there, by the whole idea, right. So what are we saying that it can't be done al yedei shliach? The bia cannot be done al yedei shliach. The right, that's the condition. That the condition is it's if you don't have nedarim, then we'll get married, right? And the getting married is the delivery of the item. It's the same thing as giving the achuzah in Eretz Yisrael. The achuzah is what do you get if you fulfill this condition? What's the fulfillment of the condition? You don't have nedarim. Then I can give you X. Then I can give you the marriage. So over here. Yes, it's true. The bia has to be done by the husband. No one else can do a bia on the husband's behalf. That doesn't make any sense. However, it's true. But as we all know, there's other ways to do kedushin. We can do kedushin with kesef and shtar. Now, Kesef and Shtar can clearly and certainly, I mean, not clearly, but we know from the Gemara's and Kedushin, can be done through a shliach. You don't have to be, again, it's not the normal circumstance, but it can be. You don't, the husband doesn't have to be the one handing her the money. He could appoint a shliach to give her the money. Oh, so if so, that it is possible to do the Kedushin or the marriage through a shliach, so then it does fit in the Tanai b'nei Gad b'nei Ruvain, and that's why it is considered a good Tanai. So that's why. So that's why it's a good Tanai, because even though the bia part of it, that example doesn't work. The example of bia doesn't work. It doesn't really fit. But since bia is just one way to do the same act or the same result, I should say, not the same act, the same result, which is to be married, and that can be done in a way that does fit into the Tanai b'nei Gad b'nei Ruvain. So therefore, even the bia itself is going to slip in, because all different types of kedushin have the same rules. Okay, so that's why the chalitza is going to be psula until you do until both of them have kavana, because that's for sure, but. The condition is not a real condition, right? In conclusion, by the way, just to wrap up what the Gemara was saying, the reason why we don't have a kasha from the case of chalitza is because over there the condition is not a real condition, because it's not a condition that can be fulfilled al yedei acher. Well, the condition can be fulfilled, meaning the fact that I'll give you the money can be done by somebody else, but the act of doing the chalitza cannot be done by somebody else. Versus the bia, even though you're right, technically the bia, the baal, the bi'ilo, cannot be done by somebody else, but Be'ilah is just another way of doing Kedushin, which can be done by giving money, and that can be done by somebody else, so therefore this is a valid and real condition, so it is a real condition. So in conclusion, if I make a valid condition in the whatever the correct way of making a condition is, but if I set it up correctly so that it is a valid condition, then Anachanami, if I go through some act afterwards, the condition's still in place. And if it turns out that you don't fulfill the condition, then you don't have a deal. You have to fulfill the condition. Okay, that is the conclusion of the Gemara right now. So, Omar Av Ula Bar Abba, Omar Ula in the name of Ula, Omar Rebbe Lozer in the name of Rebbe Lozer. Hamakadish Bemilvo Ubal. Okay, sorry. Hamakadish Bemilvo, that's one case. This is a famous case. Hamakadish Bemilvo means that she owes the guy money. And now, the general rule is that in order to do Kedushin, the man has to give the woman something. He has to actually give her something. So, if she owes him money and he simply says, I'm meichel the money, I'm waiving your obligation, so yes, it's very nice, she has the debt forgiveness that she doesn't have to pay back, but he didn't actually give her anything. At the time of Kedushin, there must be something in existence, something tangible in existence that he's giving her. Okay, it doesn't have to be necessarily tangible, it could be a hana, but it has to be something that he is giving her at the moment. And Kadesh Bemilvo, the money that she borrowed 6 months ago, it doesn't exist anymore. It's nice that she doesn't have to give it back, but the money itself is not around. So therefore, it's not a good Kedushin. Also, Ubal Al Tanai, somebody, even though they had bia, even though they consummated the marriage, but it was all on condition, Ubal B'pachas Meshava Pruta. Sorry. Amakadish B'milva Ubal. He gave condition. You have to put the comma in the right place in order to understand the Gemara. He did the Kedushin, basically he did an improper Kedushin because he used a loan, which doesn't work, and then he later lived with her. Or Al Tanai Ubal. He also made a condition, let's say she has no Nidarim, and it turns out that she does, and then he later lived with her. The Pachas Mishava Pruta, that one we can easily understand. He didn't give her enough money, he gave her a half a penny, and then Ubal, and then later they decided to live together. Divrei HaKol Tzricha Hemenu Get. Now, which seems to contradict everything we're saying till now, this Shita says, no, you do need a get, because since they went ahead and there was a bia, so then they decided, no, the bia is going to be the new Kedushin. Omer Rav Yosef Bar Abba, Omer Rabbi Menachem, Omer Rav Ami. So he says, one second. A Mekadesh B'Pachas Mishava Pruta Ubal Tzricha Hemenu Get. he agrees that Anachanami, even though I originally gave money, I didn't give a proper amount of money. But they live together, they still need to get, you know why? Bahahu Deloy Toy. Over there, because there is no mistake. What do I mean there's no mistake? Everybody knows that if I don't give the money, I can't say I'm giving you money and then not give you money. I can't say I'm going to pay you for this and then give you a penny. Everybody knows and realizes, that's the key word over here, they realize that you didn't do anything till now, which means when you get to the second stage and you're doing the bia, you realize you're not relying on the money that you gave before, because there was no real money before. So that's why you need a get in this case, because when you did the bia itself becomes the kedushin. But in the other case of the Tanai, Mekadesh B'Milva, there people make mistakes. So people don't realize, not everybody is so knowledgeable of Mekadesh B'Milva. And this is a whole sugya in Kedushin, this is a whole big sugya. And also the idea of making certain conditions and certain conditions work and certain conditions don't work. These are very complicated sugyas. Not everybody knows these halachas. And therefore when they do the bia, there is a strong likelihood that they're doing the bia in reliance on the original condition, or the reliance on the first act, thinking that that first, whatever they did originally, was a good kedushin. So they don't make the bia they don't consider the bia or think about the bia as the kedushin itself. Okay? So it's a machlekes. The machlekes between Rabbi Lozer and Rabbi Yosef. Once again, like we said before, he in the name of Ula, that if he had conditions and then later out went ahead and did the bia, you do need a get, which by the way contradicts what we started off with earlier too, with Vacho. This contradicts, because he's saying you need a get because you went ahead with the bia, you don't care about the conditions anymore. Zehaya Maiso. Okay, this story happened where he made these conditions. And the chachamim were not capable. It says they didn't have the power, but it doesn't mean power. It means they didn't feel that the right thing to do was to let this marriage be considered invalid. Okay? In other words, they considered it, once you went ahead and did a bia, that they now considered that a real marriage. La afuka mehai tana, so this would be different than the following tana. Da omar Rav Yehuda omar Shmuel, mishum Rabbi Shmuel. He learned to drasha like this. He lo nitpasa, she was not grabbed, so asura. Meaning she lived with this guy illegitimately, legally, willingly, right? So then she's asur, because she shouldn't have been with this guy. Ha nitvasa, so we can extrapolate from the pasuk, ha nitvasa muteris. That means if she was grabbed, she would be mutter. V'yesh lecha acheres. Okay, that's the pashup shad in the pasuk. However, v'yesh lecha acheres she'afa pishaloi nitvasa, that even though she wasn't grabbed, meaning she went willingly, muteris, she is still mutter to the rest of the world. What are we talking about? Ve'ezazu, what's the case? Shekitsha kedushay tois, that they made some sort of kedushin that was incorrect, that they didn't realize they were doing kedushin. Sha'afilu bino murkav al kseifa, that even if she has a child already, so they were living together and they thought they were married, ma'menes v'hoylech eslo, she could just say, forget it, I'm not interested in this marriage, and she could just walk away. Now, this toys that we're talking about over here is that they made a marriage on condition that there was no real condition, that or they didn't fulfill the condition. She's able to walk away from that marriage without a get, as if nothing happened. So we see in conclusion that according to this Tana, well, this is a machlekes, because the Chachamim said you do need a get. But based on the drush of Rabbi Shmuel, who seems to be based on a pasuk, based on a pshat in the pasuk, that even though they were living together, even though they were nitfasa, she wasn't grabbed, meaning she willingly went into this relationship, even so, and not only that, later on, many years later, so she had a child from this relationship, still we all realize that there was no marriage and there's no need for a get. But again, this is not the way Rav Kahana says, and Rav Kahana even says there was a story where they required a get. So That seems to be the conclusion of the Gemara, that it's against the Tana of Rabbi Shmuel. But when it came down Lamaisa, the Chachamim were not comfortable allowing this marriage to end without a proper get. Fine. So now that takes us. The last three words we read were on the top of Ayin Dalid Amud Beis. Okay. Fine. So once we're talking about conditions, once we're talking about specifically Nadarim, so now the Gemara gets into a very interesting topic. We all agree, that if you have this condition that she can't have Nadarim, this is something that, again, if he says expressly, you can't have Nadarim, and it turns out she has Nadarim, there is no marriage. Now, what if the condition only lasted for a short period? Can we retroactively say that this condition is not a problem? So this is a very interesting sugya. Tana Rabbanan. Holcha etzel chacham vehetira likudeshes. If she had a net, let's say she had one particular neder that she was going to put an apple on her head. Okay, fine. So she had this neder, and then she went to a chacham and says, hey, I can't deal with this anymore. And the chacham said, you're right. I'm matir the neder, as we'll see in a moment. That means there was never a neder. Similarly, Eitzel Roife, this is all part of the Braisa, Eitzel Roife, the Ripa Oysa, Enema Kodeshes. Here the Gemara has a different conclusion. If she has a mum, and his condition was, you can't have a mum, right? Let's say, I don't know, she's missing a leg. So he says, you have to have all your legs. And then she goes to a doctor, and miraculously they cure it, and now but after they're married. So when they got married, she had the mum. And then later the doctor healed her and now she doesn't have this mum anymore. Even so, too late. That marriage is no condition whatsoever, because the condition that she doesn't have a mum overrides. So the Gemara simply asks, Ma ben chacham l'roife? What is the difference? This is like a rhetorical question, because the explanation is clear. What is the difference? So they seem to be the same thing. At the time they got married, they had a problem, and later she fixed the marriage. And all of a sudden, for one of them, we say, yeah, by Nadarim, we say that, yeah, it's still married, but by the doctor, it's not good. What's the difference? Not like we have a problem with doctors. So the Gemara says the difference is a very halachic difference. Chacham oikir es haneder meikaroi. The difference is when the chacham says, oh, okay, I'm matir the nether. What does being matir a nether mean? Matir a nether means you ask her, how did you get rid of the nether? By saying to her, if you had known originally that you would have this problem, would you have made this nether in the first place? And she says, no. If I had known this was going to be what's going to happen, I would never have made the nether. So then the chacham says, okay, I'm matir the nether. It's as if you never made the nether in the first place, which means retroactively at the time you went through the Maisa Kedushin, you really didn't have the nether. Okay, it only worked out retroactively, but halachically you didn't have the nether there. However, v'roibay, but when a doctor cures her, that means at the time they got married, he thought she didn't have a mum, she had the mum. Later, the mum was cured, but it was only cured later at the time they made the kedushin, which was conditional for the kedushin. The kedushin was not a valid kedushin, and there's nothing to make it a valid kedushin. It's only later we solved the problem. But the kedushin itself was never a good kedushin. Okay, the Gemara says, but we learned in the Braisa, Eitzel Chacham Ve'etira, Eitzel Roifa Ve'ripa, Oysa, if either in the case of Nadarim or the case of the doctor, Eina Mekudeshes. Oh, so we have a Braisa that contradicts what we just said, that even by the Nadarim it doesn't go back retroactively. Okay, so now we get into this very interesting sugya. Omar, Rava, Loikasha, the two Braisas are not a contradiction. It's simply, HaRev Meir, HaRev Elozer. And we're going to see, the Gemara now is going to explain the shitas. It's machlekes, really, whether or not the Nadarim goes back retroactively or not, and we'll see why. Ha Reb Meir, the Omar, Adam Roishesh, Tizbaza Ishta Bebezdin. A person is okay, even though it says Roitza he wants, I don't want to translate it as want, but he's okay with the fact that his wife might be embarrassed in Bezdin, and we'll explain in a second. Ha Reb Elozer, as opposed to Reb Elozer, Shita de Omar, Ein Adam Roitza Shizbaza Ishta Bebezdin, that he doesn't want that his wife should be embarrassed in Bezdin. Now, what does being embarrassed in Bezdin have anything to do with it? The answer is that if he's okay with his wife going to Bezdin, and for a lady to stand in front of the Chachamim, in front of a Bezdin, it's a hard thing for women to do. So, if the husband doesn't mind that she has to go to the Beis Din. That means he doesn't care about the fact that she has the Nedarim. Let the Nedarim be Chal. And, excuse me, let the Neder be Chal. And then she'll have to deal with it later. So, okay? And therefore, right, so therefore, he's okay with the fact that she has a Neder. Meaning it doesn't bother me the fact that she has a Neder. So even though my condition was that you don't have a Neder, and it turns out that she does, it doesn't bother me because I know, so to speak, there's a cure. I know that my wife is going to go to Beis Din, undo the Neder, and there will never be a Neder in the first place. So therefore, when I made my condition, when I got married, and I said to my wife, you can't have any Nedarim, what I meant was, the end result is that you don't have Nedarim. Because if you have any, you'll get rid of it by going to the Chacham. So your result will be that you don't have Nedarim. And I'm okay with that. As opposed to Rebbe Lozer, who says, no. If I get married to a woman, I don't want my wife standing up in front of Beis Din, going to Beis Din. I don't want that. So that's not considered a solution to my problem. It's not an option for her to go to the Chacham and undo it. And therefore, if I make a condition that you don't have Nedarim, and she does, even if it's possible that she could get rid of it later, it's too late. That already is a problem for me, because I don't want either a girl that has a Neder, and if she does have a Neder, I don't want her to go to Beis Din to undo the Neder. So I'm stuck. So I don't have a solution to my problem. So therefore, if he made a condition she has a Neder, even if she goes to the Rav later, it's not going to help, because you already went too far. The husband's not happy with the fact that she has to go. The mere fact that she has to go to the Rav already is a problem. So therefore, it's not a kedusha. So that's the stira. It's not a stira anymore. It's a machlekes Rav Meir and Rav Elazar. Okay, but the Gemara doesn't give us the context of where did Rav Elazar and Rav Meir say this. So now the Gemara is going to go through the case, which is going to take us a little bit onto Ayin Hay and Rav. So let's go through this quickly. Mahi, where do we see this machlekes Rav Elazar and Rav Meir? The time we learned in the Mishnah. Hamoitzi is ishtam isham neder. Okay, so let's say it happens that the husband realizes that she has nedarim, and he says, okay, in that case, you're out of here. And he divorces her. So then the halacha is, loy yachzer mishum shem ra. Okay, you're not allowed to ever remarry. If that was the reason why you divorced her, was because she had nedarim, you can never remarry this woman. Why? Because we're afraid. We'll see, the Gemara actually has two pshatim in this, but let's keep it simple. You're not allowed to remarry her because we're afraid that it might turn out that she doesn't have, that she'll get married, or she's divorced, so no problem. She marries the second guy. Then it turns out that the neder is really not a neder, so the guy says, oh, one second. So you don't really have nedarim. So then I could really, the only reason I divorced you was because of the nedarim. You don't have nedarim anymore, I want to remarry you. Means we never really got divorced. So what's going to happen? It means that when she's living with the second guy was living with a married woman. This is what we're afraid of. This is what we're afraid of. So we tell the guy, listen, if you're divorcing based on this reason, you can never remarry. There's no backsies, no tracksies. I don't care. You have to understand, if this is your issue, even if you regret it, even if you regret the fact that you gave the get, and you never really meant to give the get in the first place, we're making it crystal clear that no, that's not true. This get is a valid get no matter what you say later. And therefore you're never going to have a problem with her getting remarried to somebody else. Okay? So, that's the first. Amoitzi yasishter mishum neder, lo yachzer, he's not allowed to remarry her. Mishum shemra, the same thing also is if he says that he thought that she was with somebody else, also, and he divorces her based on that reason, lo yachzer, he can't really remarry her either. Again, the Gemara has, because we don't, again, the guy's going to say, oh, I didn't realize it wasn't a problem, this and that. We said, no. If your reason for getting divorced is something that you could theoretically in the future have regrets, we say, you have to understand that this is a valid get no matter what. However, Rabbi Yehuda Omer, Kol neder sheyodu boi rabim. Rabbi Yehuda has a whole different rule. It has nothing to do with this. He says, if it's a neder sheyodu boi rabim, lo yachzer. If people know about it, so you can never really undo that neder, so then he can never remarry her. Lo yodu boi rabim yachzer. If people don't know about it, so then you could do it privately, and then she could get remarried. So here's a case, by the way, according to Rabbi Yehuda, that she could have private nedarim, and that neder could be undone, so he could remarry her. Now, to focus on the shitas that work were relevant to our Gemara over here. Rav Meir Oimer, Kol Neder Shetzarech Chakiras Chochem. Remember, Rav Meir Shita, we're focusing on whether the husband cares that she goes to Beis Din. So listen to what Rav Meir says. Kol Neder Shetzarech Chakiras Chochem Lo Yachzor. If it needs a Chochem to look into it and decide whether or not it is a good Neder or not, he cannot remarry her. Why? Because it's possible that she'll go to the Chacham. Remember, Rav Meir Shita is, I don't care if you go to the Chacham. So it's possible she'll go to the Chacham. Just to finish, Rav Meir Shita, v'she'en etzarech hakiras Chacham, yachzer. But if it doesn't need hakiras Chacham, then he could remarry her. Why? Because that's a neder that he could be mefer by himself. Okay? So, right. So he could be made for it himself. So if he could be made for it himself, so then he could be, then he could be. He could take her back. Okay. Anyway, so we see that according to Rav Meir, even though again, this I'm not getting into the sugya of nedarim over here. This is a very interesting topic and sugya over here with the fact that if he could be made for himself, that he could be machzer. We're not going to go into that part of the story over here. Okay, skipping the parentheses for a second. Amar Rav Elazar. So remember, we're looking for the machlekes Rav Meir and Rav Elazar. But according to Rav Meir, if she needs chakiras chacham, then you cannot remarry her. Why? Because she might end up actually going to the chacham. And Amar Rav Elazar on that, Rav Elazar says lo yasru tzarich ela mepnei she'ein tzarich. We said he's going like the Tanakhama Shita that she can any nadarim that she has he can never remarry her. But he says the interesting reason is that when she needs to go to the Chacham, that's really only usher to remarry because of the case of Enitzarch, that when he doesn't need to go to the Chacham. Why? Because according to Rabbi Lezer, going to the Chacham is not really an option. So she can never be, the husband will never be okay with her going to a Chacham to be Matir. Okay? So it's clear, according to Rabbi Lezer, if she has to go to a Chacham, that he's never going to be able to remarry her. So the only reason it's usher to remarry her is because in the case where she doesn't have to go to the Chacham, which he's okay with, as you don't have to, it's personal to him. And he may actually realize and regret, oh, I should have been matter this, I should have been made for this nether. And then he'll mess up her second marriage. So that's why Rabbi Lozer says, you cannot get remarried in that case. Fine. Again, it's very complicated what's going on over here. There's a lot of cheshbonos that have to do with just getting to the point. The point is that according to Rabbi Lozer, everything is aser. But why is it aser? It's really only aser because he could have made a problem by saying I wanted to be mefer. But according to Rabbi Lozer, the option of going to the Chacham was never really an option. Whereas according to Rabbi Meir saying, no, I only asked her those cases that she goes to the Chacham, because according to Rabbi Meir, I'm okay with her going to the Chacham. So now, finishing off the explanation of this brisa. My time of the Rabbi Yehuda. Now Rabbi Yehuda says it depends on whether or not it's a neder that the Rabbim knows about. So let's first explain Rabbi Yehuda's shita. My time of the Rabbi Yehuda the chsiv, because the pasuk says, and now I am on the top of Ayin Hayim and Aleph. We'll just read the first about five lines or so. The pasuk says, "Vayhikem b'nei Yisrael ki nishbu lehem nesiyah eda." They didn't hit them. This is by the Gevoinim, because they said, don't worry, they're going to be a good. Now, okay, so what do we see? We see that since they made this neder berabim, so they couldn't undo the neder, because they did it, this is by the Gevoinim, they made this neder that they're going to be mekabel the Torah in berabim, so they couldn't undo the neder. Okay, so we see that Rabbi Yehuda is based on a pasuk that once the rabbim knows about it, you can't undo the neder. The kama rabbim, so what's considered a large crowd? Rav Nachman bar Yitzchak amar shloisha, it's three people. Yomim, what is the plural of three people already is considered that people know about it. Yomim, whenever the pasuk uses the word yomim, shnayim, it means two people. Rabbim, okay, shloisha is three. So Rav Yitzchak amar asara, Rav Yitzchak says, no, it doesn't mean three, it means ten. Eda, when the pasuk uses the word Eda, ksiv bahu, Eda ksiv bahu, over here, because over here, the word Rabbim over here means ten, because it also uses the word Eda, which is ten. Eda is like a tzibur, so that always needs sin. Okay, fine. Now, getting back to the point over here, to finish up and wrap up the machlokes between Rav Elazar and Rav Meir. Rav Meir oimer, kol neder shetzer chakiras chacham layachzer. So what do we see there? Rav Meir says that if the chacham needs to talk about it, if it has to go to the chacham, meaning it's the type of neder that the husband himself cannot be mefer, the only way to undo this neder is to go to a chacham, to a third party, so then you're not allowed to remarry her. Rav Elazar oimer, loy asru, loy asru tzarech, elam apnei she'en tzarech. Okay, and Rabbi Lozer, this is just quoting from the Braisa before, Rabbi Lozer says, no, going to the Chacham is not a problem, because remember, Rabbi Lozer, she says, I don't want you to go to the Chacham. So I don't have a problem with that. He can never undo that neder. The only problem is, I do have a problem when he himself could be made, he could have been made for the neder himself, and then he could have regrets that he wasn't made for the neder. That's where you have a problem. So we're going to answer everything because of that. So, in conclusion, the Gemara says, "B'maykam iflagi." So what are Reb Meir and Reb Elazar actually arguing about? So the Gemara finally says, Reb Meir, Savar Adam Roitza Shetzisbaza Ishta BeBezdin. A person, is a husband, is okay with his wife going to Bezdin. So therefore, the only thing that would be usur is that she may actually go to Bezdin, because I don't care about that. And if she goes to Bezdin, she's going to undo that neder. And she's going to unwind that neder, and then he's going to have regrets. So therefore we say, well, she might go to Bezdin, I have to be sure that this is a real get. Whereas Rabbi Elazar Sover, Ein Adam Roitza Shetespaza Ishtoi BeBezdin. Rabbi Elazar says, no, I would never allow my wife to go to Bezdin. And even if she does go, that's not on my watch. That's not something that I'm okay with. And that's already a problem for me. So according to Rabbi Elazar, the fact that she has to go to Bezdin is never the type of neder that he'll regret. Because that's not in the cards for her to undo the neder by going to Bezdin. Because I'm not going to allow her to go to Bezdin. Or I'm not okay with her going to Bezdin. So therefore, that neder will always hold up. Because Maman of Shach, either the neder will always hold up because he won't let her go to Bezdin, or if she goes to Bezdin, that's already going against his will, so that's not the type of girl that he could say, oh, if I had known, I wouldn't have divorced her. Because he doesn't want that type of girl. He doesn't want the type of girl that goes to Bezdin. Maman of Shach, I don't want a girl that has a neder, and I don't want a girl that goes to Bezdin. So if either one of the, so either she has the neder, so I don't want her, or she went to Bezdin, I don't want her. So therefore, so it's not going to, so that marriage will, he can never claim to have regrets, and we're going to undo the get. So therefore, the only thing that's usher is if he could have been mefer and says, oh, I didn't realize it could have been mefer, that's where he'll have the regret, and that's the kind of marriage that's the kind of marriage you have to make sure when he divorces her that he knows good and well that that's a good get. But Mamela, according to Rabbi Lozer, he says both are usher, gzeira, the going to Bezdin one. But the point is, finally, in conclusion, whereas according to Rabbi Meir is the trickier or harder shita, I think, to understand. Rabbi Meir's shita is that I have no problem with my wife going to Bezdin. And therefore, if she has a neder that the Chacham could have undone, that's where I have the problem that I could regret that I divorced her because of the neder. Because I'm mad that she made the neder, so I give the get. And then it turns out that she doesn't have the neder because she goes to Bezdin, and I'm okay with her going to Bezdin. And then I'll say to myself, oh, if I had known you really didn't have this neder, I would never have given you the get. And now her second marriage is all messed up. It's because she didn't really have a get. So we say, that's why Chazal say, if a guy is divorcing because of the neder issue, we say, listen, just so that you realize, I don't know what's going to happen in the future with this neder. But once you give this get, there's no backsies. Once you give this get, you can never regret it. You can regret all you want, but it's not going to help. You can never undo this get, and therefore the second marriage is safe because she is validly unwind this get. Right? So therefore it's a valid get, and she's for sure divorced and she can get remarried. Okay, anyway, so just to conclude, and we'll stop here and pick up over here next time, Meretz Hashem. The yisoid that we learn over here, which is very important, is that when we're matir a neder, we're matir it lima freya. It's as if she never really had the neder in the first place. And therefore, if he makes a kedushin, which is the sugya that we're focused on, when she makes a kedushin with a neder, and it turns out that we were matir the neder, it's as if she really never had the neder. She never had the neder, because we undid it retroactively, as if it never existed. And therefore, that's not a problem with our condition, and now that she doesn't have the neder, she never had the neder, and when they gave a kedushin, it turns out, realistically, she never had the neder, or halachically, I should say, she never had the neder, so therefore it's a good kedusha. As opposed to, and we'll stop over here, as opposed to when she goes to a doctor and they cure the problem, if she had that problem at this time of kedusha, that was the problem was there, and therefore the kedusha was never chal in the first place. Okay.